5 as we continue looking at the parables of Jesus, focusing this morning on the parable of the talents. Let's hear the word of the Lord this morning. Jesus speaking, again telling us another story for us to learn from, talking about the coming of the kingdom and what life is like in the kingdom of God, said again, "It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who received the 1 talent went off, and he dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put your money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. Take that talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For anyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here is the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your word to us, and we thank you for once again, as we've been looking at these stories you've been telling us, where we have truth to learn from you on how to live. So Lord, again, teach us from you, our master teacher this morning, the lessons that you have for us in your word today, that we may live as your faithful stewards and servants here on earth. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have entrusted with us and to us. And Lord, may we be faithful with them for your use and for your glory. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If you ever seen a talent, an artist, or an athlete, and you watch an athlete on TV, maybe he's a great football player, someone like Patrick Mahomes, or a great football player or a baseball player, and you watch them in their performance, and after done, you say, boy, are they talented. Or if you listen to someone that has a great voice and they sing and you say, man, are they talented. I don't have any talent like that. And we marvel at the talent that some people have and their amazing ability. And it's easy to recognize and spot that talent in others. But have you realized that you are talented? God has talented every single one of us and blessed us as well. In this story this morning, as we look at the parable of the talents, Jesus told this story in context to a question that had been asked him about the Lord's return. And the disciples had asked Jesus when the signs of his coming or when Jesus would be coming back, and he had given them some teaching, some things to look for. Then last week, he had given the story about the parable of the virgins. And in that story, he told about the 10 virgins. We looked at that last week. And the point of that story was that we need to live our life in being prepared for the Lord's coming. That being ready for the day in which he will return, because we don't know when it will be. And the point of that story was preparedness. Then after he finished that story, he went on to tell this parable of the talents, where a man was getting ready to go on a journey. And before he's getting ready to go on a journey, he called his workers, his farmhands to him, and he trusted them with some talents of his wealth, of his resources, and say, while I'm going, manage these for me, and then I'll come back. And it was a long time in his coming, and while he was away, one who had five took his and doubled it, as Jesus told the story. The other who had two took his and doubled it, and the one took his and hid it in the ground. And when Jesus returned later on to settle accounts, and he called them into account with how they had managed what God had given him. The point of this story that Jesus is telling us today is in the midst of his coming, and while we're waiting for his delay, while we're waiting for his coming, he is calling us to be faithful. Not to be sitting around, not to be idle, not to be wasting the opportunities and the resources he gives us, but to be faithful until he comes. So the point of this story is that of faithfulness. Last week we saw preparedness, but this week it's that of faithfulness. And as we look at this story this morning, there's three truths we want to discover together that I believe Jesus wants us to get from this story. And the first is, before he left, Jesus, before he left and ascended, he gave us all a responsibility. Look at verse 14 and 15 again. It said, the kingdom of God is like a man going on a journey. He's getting ready to go away. And the king here represents Jesus before he went into heaven. And he called his servants and he entrusted his property to them. Before Jesus left, he gave us all, every one of us as believers, a responsibility. And that he gave us our calling. He called us to himself, first in salvation. And he gave us a calling that he wants us to do. That calling was seen for us in Matthew chapter 28. It's the Great Commission. That calling of making disciples. We see it in Matthew chapter 28, if you want to turn there for a few seconds. And we see the calling he's given all of us. Right before he went into heaven, these were his final words. And he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So before Jesus ascended, he gave us as Christians in the church a calling to come to himself, to know him, and to be making disciples and to become a disciple, called to discipleship and called to grow in our life and in our faith. And as a church and as believers, he's entrusted us with that responsibility and a calling to help each other grow in our faith. He called them to himself. And as they called, not only entrusted them the Great Commission, but also the Great Commandment. The Great Commandment we see in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, where Jesus was asked, what is the greatest of all the commands in the Word of God? And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, on these two commands hang all the law and the prophets. So before Jesus left, he gave us our responsibility. And our responsibility is to be disciple makers, to become a disciple, and to love one another, to love him, and to love each other. And that's our responsibility that God has entrusted to you and to me. While he is in heaven, while he is gone, while we are waiting for his return. To love him, to be his disciple. So he's given that calling to all of us. Notice it said he called all of his farmhands to him. He called all his workers. And he entrusted us with his resources. It said he called his servants, who was going on a journey, verse 14. He called his servants and he entrusted his property to them. He entrusted what he had, his resources and property and his farm, to them to manage while he was away. While Jesus went to heaven, he entrusted his resources to you and to me. He's to put them into our hand to hold in trust for him. That word entrust means to give to someone to use. and to manage. And as he entrusted his property and his resources, he gave it to all of them. Notice he gave to all, it says. One, he gave five. One, he gave two. And one, he gave one. But he gave some resources to all. And he gave them a talent or several talents. And a talent, say, what is a talent? We think today of a talent, we think of someone who can sing or maybe is good in sports or as an artistic. We think of a talent as that, something like that. But in Bible times, talent was different. Talent was a weight of measurement that had to do with, it was a large sum of money whose value was determined by weight. For instance, a talent of gold weighed 200 pounds, and a talent of silver weighed 100 pounds, but the value was determined by what the object was. But it was a large sum of money that he entrusted to his farmhands, his employees, while he went on his journey. And the point Jesus is making is he has entrusted his resources, the Father's resources, to you and to me to manage for him. And we all have been given some entrust by the Lord. He's entrusted it to all of us. And we can't use the excuse, well, I'm not talented, or I have nothing I can give to the Lord, or I have nothing I can do. Because he's entrusted all of us with something. And notice, not only he gave to all, but he gave according to their ability. He said to one who had more ability to manage more, he gave one five. But to one who's more ability, he made two. And to one, he gave one. And it wasn't the amount that was important. It was the fact that he knew what each could do. And he gave it according to their ability. And we can't use the excuse that I can't serve God because I'm not as gifted as somebody else. Because see, God has gifted you and I with the gifts that we have according to what he knows we can handle. According to what he knows we can do for him. And we may say, I can't contribute to the kingdom, or I can't make a significant event for the kingdom of God, because who am I? I feel insignificant. I'm not a Billy Graham. I'm not somebody like that. No, you're Ethel. You're Nick. And God has entrusted you with what he's given you, with the gifts that you have to serve him and make an impact where you are. And we can do that, because God has done that with the gifts we have. So before he left, he has given that to all of us. Some talents, some abilities, resources of his kingdom to you and to me. He's put them in our hands. He's put them in our trust to manage and to use for him. And he went away. The story continued. While he went away, you know what Jesus said, the one with five put his to work and doubled it. The one with two put his to work and doubled it. The one with one hid it in the ground and buried it. Which brings us to the second point. While he is gone, while Jesus is in heaven now, while he is gone, he expects us to be faithful. He expects us to be faithful with the resources he's given us. Whether it's a little, whether it's a lot, the amount doesn't matter. It's that he's given us all resources to use for him. And he expects us to be faithful with them while he's gone. Not to hoard them on ourselves, not to bury them, not to hide them, but to use them and to manage them well. And he wants us to use those resources to carry out his work in his absence. And that's what these farmhands were supposed to do. These employees, the farmer was expecting them to carry out his work and manage his farm and take care of things while he was away. While he was taking care of business on his journey elsewhere. And while Jesus is in heaven, he's entrusted you and I to carry out his work on earth for him while he's in heaven. What does that mean? Well, that means being his hands and feet. That means being Jesus in a hurting and broken world. That means being the hands and feet and the heart of Jesus to those around us, to the people that he brings into your life, maybe your family, your friends, your neighbors, people you don't even know, but letting the hand and the heart and the love of Jesus be seen in through you in a visible way, being Jesus to our world today, who so desperately needs him. Do you agree that our world so desperately needs Jesus? And he has left us here right now to be Jesus to the people around us. He's entrusted us with that responsibility to carry on his work for him while he's gone. And there's a hymn Thelma probably knows, that work for the night is coming. And work because now's our time, because there'll be a day when we can't work anymore. The work has to be done in that time. And it means doing, carrying on his work in his absence also means doing what Jesus would be doing if he was present with us. If Jesus was in the world today, what would he be doing? Where would Jesus be going? How would he be reaching people? How would he be treating people? And that's what we're to be doing now. We're to be doing what Jesus would be doing if he was here. And how do we know what that is? We look to the Gospels. We look to how he lived his life when he was here. Shows us how we are to live our life now, carrying on his work that he's entrusted to you and me, of sharing his love, of helping others to become disciples. Carrying on his work in his absence, also managing his resources well. That means to be good stewards of, we always think of treasure, but it's more than that. It's not what we often what we possess with treasure, but it's also our time. And it's our talents, but managing well the resources that he's entrusted to you and to me. How we use our time for him. How we use our talents, the resources he's blessed us with. He expects you and I to manage those well. He expects to have a return on his gift, on his investment that he's given to you. We'll see that as the story continues. He expects us to be using his resources, not on hoarding for ourselves, but on his kingdom work. And that means investing and multiplying his kingdom. Now, there was a mother that tried to teach her daughter a lesson. And she gave her little girl a quarter and a dollar for church. She gave her one, a quarter and a dollar. And she said, whichever one you want to put in the collection plate, put one in the plate and keep the other for yourself. I'm going to let you decide. So when they were coming out of church, the mother asked her daughter which amount she had given. And she said, well, the little girl said, I was going to give the dollar, but just before the collection, the man in the pulpit said we all should be cheerful givers. So I thought I'd be more cheerful if I put in the quarter instead, so I did. I think she missed the point. But God has given us the resources we have for him to use for his glory. And so we are accountable to manage those well and to invest in and multiply and grow his kingdom. And we're never too old to give what we have for the Lord, to serve him with the what he's entrusted with us. And we often think of money, but it's not just that. Maybe some of the best ways that some of you can invest in the kingdom of God is in your prayers. And investing your time in the kingdom in praying for people that need to come to know Jesus. That is a spiritual investment that pays eternal dividends. And we often think of investment as just money, but no, it's more than that. It's many ways we can invest our time, that we can invest our talents. That I know many of you that come and just show up and do things behind the scenes that you didn't take recognition for, or you don't even want recognition for, but you just give it to the Lord and you just silently do. And that's investing in the kingdom in many different ways, and that's what God calls us all to do. Maybe it's through prayer, maybe it's a lot of ways that we can invest in multiplying and growing the kingdom of God. Two of them invested in the kingdom. The one did not invest. And when the day of accounting, we'll talk about that, he held on to it. Now, J.L. Kraft, who was the head of the Kraft Cheese Corporation, had once given approximately 25% of his income to Christian causes for many years. And he said, quote, the only investment I ever made, which had paid consistently, increasing dividends, was the money that I had given to the Lord. And there was a man called R.G. Letourneau, who was known for making construction of vehicles in Texas. And he lived in 1888 to 1969, but he was a Christian industrialist who dedicated his life to be a businessman for God. He was usually successful designing and developing his own line of earth-moving equipment. And there is a school today called Letourneau University named after him. But Letourneau was the maker of nearly 300 inventions, and he had hundreds of patents in his lifetime. And he successfully financed, as God continued to bless him, gave him to the point where, get this, he didn't tithe 10% of his income. He tithed 90% of his income and lived on 10. And he said this, he said, I shovel out the money and God shovels it back, but God has a bigger shovel. And one of his most favorite words. I shovel out the money, God shovels it back, but God is a bigger shovel. But he tithed 90% of his income and lived on 10. Say, wow, well, God doesn't maybe call us to do that. But the thing was, he managed well the resources God had given him for his glory. Whatever it is, whether it's a one talent, whether it's a little or it's a lot, that's not what matters. It's, are we faithful with what God has given us and using it for his glory? And that's the point of the story, not to hoard it for ourselves. So before he left, he gave us all a responsibility. And while he is gone, he expects us to be faithful. And the third thing we see from this lesson is when he returns, he will call us all to give an account. And he's going to give us account for how we've used the resources he's entrusted us with. Notice, he said, when the master returned, after a long time, verse 19, after a long time, telling us that it's a long time till the Lord returned. It's already been over 2,000 years. We don't know when it will be. But after that time, when the Lord returns and we see him, we will have to give an account for our faithfulness to him and how faithful we have been with the resources he has entrusted us with. And faithfulness will be rewarded. We will hear him say, those words that we all live for, well done, good and faithful servant. The one who received five brought his five to the Lord and said, Master, you entrusted me with five. See, I've gained five more. And verse 21, his master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. To hear the commendation and praise of the Lord because he had managed well what God had given him. The one with two came and said, Master, you gave me two talents. See, I have gained two more. And his master replied in verse 23, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. I want you to look at verse 21 and verse 23. Because here's the key in what God's saying. When the one with five came and gave his talents and went back to up to 10, the one with two came and doubled and went to 4. They weren't commended for the amount. They were commended for their faithfulness. And notice the Lord's response to both of them. Do you see the Lord's response to both of them? It's exactly the same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been entrusted with few things. I will put you in charge of many. Come and share your master's talent. The commendation was exactly the same. It wasn't the amount. It was that they were commended for their faithfulness. And when we stand before the Lord, that's what he's going to ask us for, how faithful we have been with what he's entrusted to us. Not the amount, but have we been faithful? Have we managed well what he's given to us for his use, for his glory in it? And we will be rewarded for that. So faithfulness will be rewarded greatly as we stand before him someday and to hear his commendation. But unfaithfulness will be punished. The one who hoarded his wealth, the one who hoarded the one talent, buried it. He said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man. I knew you were a harsh man. So I was afraid that I might lose it. I didn't want to take any risk. So I just buried it. Here it is, but nothing to show for it. He gave it back with nothing to show for it. And the master was displeased and took it from him and gave it to the one who had the most. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, beginning in verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul was writing about someday when we all stand before the Lord. And as believers, we are going to stand before what's called the judgment seat of Christ. But it's his mercy seat. It's not a judgment of our sin, but it's a judgment of our faithfulness, where we're going to be commended or not for how we've been faithful with what he's given us. But here in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, beginning at verse 10, Paul says, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful. Each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. But yet notice, he himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flame." So it's not a judgment that's going to determine our salvation, but it's a judgment of our faithfulness. Do we have rewards to show to lay at the feet of Jesus, not for ourselves, but to lay to his glory? Or will we suffer loss before him? For 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 to 10 says, "We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ." So take notice how we live with our faithfulness. And a publication called In Other Words, which is a publication by Wycliffe Bible Translators, it tells a story about a lady named Sarah Seeker, who served for many years as a house parent for missionary children in the Philippines. Sadie loved books. And though she gladly loaned out some books, others she treasured in a footlocker and kept underneath her bed, books that she thought were very special to her. Once, in the quiet of the night, Sadie heard a faint gnawing sound. And after searching all around her room, she discovered that the noise was coming from inside her footlocker. So when she opened it, she found nothing but an enormous pile of dust. All the books that she had kept to herself had been lost to termites. What we give away, we keep. But what we hoard, we lose. And that's the point of the story of what Jesus is telling us. He's entrusted all of us. You are talented. I am talented. God has entrusted all of us with talents, resources for him. And one day we will have to give an account of how faithful we have managed those for his good. And to live for him to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So the question is, God didn't give us a talent for us to bury it. So the question is, if the master returned today, what would he say about how you've used what he's given you? If he would come today, what would he say about how you've used, but how he's entrusted you before he left? Because on that day of accounting, we all will have to manage and give account. So the Lord has given us all a job to do until he returns, not to sit idly by and do nothing. Investing by praying, investing by giving, investing by using our time well. And what we use, and when we use what he's given us, he will give us more. But his judgment awaits those who do not invest their life in the kingdom of God. And we won't have his commendation, but we'll have his displeasure. But the kingdom of God is like a man who went on a journey and called his servants and entrusted his property to them. And when they responded and gave back, he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." May we live our life to hear that praise and that commendation in the final day. And he says, "Well done. You have done well with what I've given you. You have been faithful." Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have blessed us and you have entrusted all of us with your resources. And it's humbling to think that you've entrusted us with your kingdom work. That when you went to heaven, You've entrusted us with your work of making disciples, of sharing your love, of being your hands and feet, of carrying on your work in this world until you come again. That's why you've left us here. You could have, when we were saved, taken us immediately to be with you, but you've left us here to carry on your work, to be your ambassador, to be your hands and feet in a hurting and broken world. So Lord, may we be faithful doing your work until the day you take us to be with you or until you come again. And Lord, may we live our life well and manage well the resources you've given us and the trust that you placed in us, that at the end, we will hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, come and enjoy your master's happiness." And Lord, we long for that, to enjoy your happiness, your presence forever. So Lord, until that day, may we be faithful. May we be being prepared, as you reminded us last week, but may we continue to be faithful, not idle, but faithful, busy, faithfully serving you and using your resources well until the day you call us home. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.